House of Representatives must pass the bipartisan national security bill. The bill provides urgent funding for Ukraine, and it passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. And there's no question, none, if the Speaker called for a vote in the House, it would pass easily today. Instead, they went on vacation. I mean, it's just, and well, look, folks, all kidding aside, history's watching. The clock is ticking. Brave Ukrainian soldiers and civilians are dying. Russia is taking Ukraine territory for the first time in many months. But here in America, the Speaker gave the House a two-week vacation. They have to come back. They have to come back and get this done. Because failure to support Ukraine in this critical moment will never be forgotten in history. It will be measured, and it will have impact for decades to come.
So this was the governor's, this is from the governor's, the president's meeting with the governors today, and it's at the White House. And they have Democrat and Republican governors there. They're all there, and they're all having their, their conversation with the president. There's a lot of governors there, Democrat governors, actually, that are dealing with the border stuff. So that has to be kind of awkward, them all coming together and meeting there, and then him, you know, trying to get around the border situation, particularly with California, because they've seen such an increase just in the past couple of weeks alone. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this first hour on Friday. We made it all the way through Friday. So there you go. And we got a lot to hit as we get going today. This is just, there's a couple of things. We've got some of the stuff going on with 2024. We have some domestic policy stuff. I got some more media malpractice as well to get into. And of course, you know, if you get that newsletter, that if you subscribe over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, I send all this stuff out to you every single morning, and you get it. And then of course, there's other pieces as well that you can get. And then Lorraine also has her regular write-up walking you through all the lawfare so you understand it, so that you're not in the weeds with this stuff and overwhelmed, and which is kind of, you know, honestly, I think what the media and what the left like to see, if I'm being very honest about it. All right. So this, again, so welcome. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. And you can watch the simulcast of the radio program on Channel 347 DirecTV. Always good discussion at YouTube. You can also find us Facebook, so much other. So first and foremost, this is what we got. So like I said, they're having meeting with the governors, and I'm really interested in seeing what some of the discussion is going to be like as it pertains to some of these Democrat borders or Democrat governors in border states, because they are not happy with him. And all of the Democrats have too many holes in the ship right now. So let me just tell you what they're dealing with. In addition to the border, because he's trying to keep these border state governors that are Democrats, although Newsom kind of is an exception, because it's, for some reason, it's like California just revels in it. They just revel in the chaos. But he's trying to keep them happy while at the same time not appearing as though he is forfeiting anything on border, on amnesty, on open borders with his base. So that's number one. Number two, he's dealing with hemorrhaging of the black vote and also a revolt from Muslim Americans because of the DEI in schools. So we talk about Michigan. That's one of those states. In fact, the headlines that I had yesterday about, and we're going to talk more about it later today, about the EVs and the restrictions that he was putting on different vehicle manufacturers and rolling those back. That's all related to making it easier on manufacturers based in Michigan. I mean, they're trying to do everything that they can to stem the hemorrhage of different voting demographics. So he's in trouble there. He's in trouble with foreign policy as well, because even I was talking to a friend of mine who had just out of nowhere yesterday, and I didn't get back to them right away, but out of nowhere asked me, so what particularly is the reason that you oppose, you know, involvement in Ukraine? And I'm like, well, define involvement, because this has been the problem. Everybody uses this vague language, and you have no, I'm not going to sit here and agree with you on something that you're unwilling to define. What are you talking about? What do you mean involvement? Well, you know, like sending this over there, sending that over there. And I'm like, well, can you tell me what we have all sent over there? Well, no, but I mean, okay, well, then why are you asking me? And don't use the excuse that, well, you know, it's just the government's handling it. You're a taxpayer. It is your responsibility as a protector of liberty to know what we're sending over there and know exactly where our money's going. And if you don't know, that's a problem. And that's our whole entire argument. They have not been transparent. They have not articulated, A, what they think the objection, what is the objective that they think they're supporting? Two, where is the money going? Because there are reports even from Ukraine that the money is going for things not even related to the conflict with Russia. There's a lot of questions there. And you also have to understand people's reluctance to support something, particularly when it centers around a country where you had officials really stretching themselves to protect the president, his son, and the corruption that surrounds his insane appointment on this Burisma board, which is the top energy company over there, by the way. I mean, it's not, you know, no small fish here. There's a lot of questions, and you can't blame the American voter for demanding answers before we move on that. That's not our problem. And a lot of the people in Congress that haven't been getting answers from the administration, and they say they're not budging, people like Chip Roy or people like Thomas Massie, it's not their problem either. That's the administration wanted to stake out this position. It's the administration's responsibility to explain that. You know, and I'm telling this to my friend, I'm like, you know, you think that just that you just followed these missives that they put out. Oh, we have to help in Ukraine. Help with what? Oh, we have to help, you know, with munitions. Like, what specifically are you talking about? Well, you know, if we don't go in there, you know, what do you think of the argument that if we don't go in there, that Russia's just going to come in and take Ukraine over, and then they're going to start targeting all these NATO nations, all these, you know, the Baltic states, etc. Okay, well, how do you suppose they're going to do that when they're losing their backside just going in with Ukraine? I mean, you're telling me that this is Russia, a country that would be able to, used to be able to absorb the loss. I mean, they would have no problem conducting a war of attrition, and they could easily absorb those losses previously. Now they can't. They can't anymore. And economically, they're at their limit. And you can tell me all about, you know, their oil and gas, but that's barely keeping them afloat. So you're telling me they're going to be able to just venture on immediately after, beyond, and then just start picking battles with way better positioned, larger economically nations, particularly NATO? That's just dumb. That doesn't make sense. And I'm not being Chamberlain about it. I'm just saying that argument doesn't hold water. And I think that's kind of the big thing. I want to know where they get this idea from that, oh, well, he's going to go in and he's going to immediately declare war on NATO. I just want to know where they get this idea from. But that's, you know, I was telling my friend this. I'm like, it's not the responsibility of the voter to make sense of what government does. If government is not being transparent and open and honest and clearly defining what it is that they're doing and what the objectives are, that's the problem. And you're not going to be able to persuade people to continue giving them more money when they can't even tell you what the past money was spent on and what objectives it was supposed to achieve or help achieve. That's the issue here. So they can sit here all day long and they can try to browbeat people into supporting Ukraine. And it becomes doubly harder when you see what's happening at the border. And it's been made more difficult because Texas, you know, border state, the governor decided, no, we're going to stand here and fight, adding all these force multipliers, sending the National Guard, all these other governors sending assistance as well. So now all of these people are moving from what used to be an easy crossing point in Texas. Now they're starting this deluge in California and elsewhere. I don't know if you saw, it was early this morning, it was in the 9 o'clock hour. Bill Malugin had done, he's in San Diego. He was there at the border. There was someone that came in from Mauritania. And it just so happened, I'm an expert on Mauritania, just only now. I don't know if you guys have seen the latest Grand Tour sand job, but it's pretty funny. They did the Paris-Dakar. Half of that race. It was this historic race back in, I guess, the heydays of that European racing. And anyway, they went down and they had to go from Mauritania into Senegal. And it was just very interesting. And there was this guy who came over from Mauritania And I'm like, how in the hell are you getting, so you're going to Mexico from Mauritania, from Africa. And you're going into Mexico and then you're coming up through the southern border right after this dude from Mauritania. It was a guy from China. Right after, every single person he spoke with was a young dude. There were no chicks there. I didn't see no kids, you know, seeking asylum and such. I didn't see any of that. I don't know. There's issues here. So that makes it even more difficult when these stories are coming out. That makes it even more difficult. And then you're seeing what's happening at the northern border with Canada. Canada's having to clamp down on who's coming to Canada and then trying to cross over in the United States. Canada's has to clamp down now. I'm telling you. So we'll see. He spoke earlier today. The president spoke earlier today. And he also yesterday met with Alexei Navalny's wife. And he was promising sanctions. And what did he say? What was the quote? He said, we're going to get that SOB. He didn't say SOB. Is that what he... What do you mean we're going to get?
500 sanctions, he said. More than 500. Like, what's the last 400 sanctions going to do that the first 100...
Yeah. Might? Like, can you... Yeah. Like, I mean, how many... Are we just... Like, what all are we sanctioning? I'm curious. I'm just, you know, I'm curious. I'd like to know what all sanctions that, you know, we've seen thus far. But so he'd said, yeah, we're going to get that SOB, et cetera. It's kind of a weird thing to promise, but okay. But they also had Zelensky, who did this huge interview with Bret Baier yesterday all at the same time. Did you guys see that? The media had an excerpt of it. And he blasted the Tucker Carlson interview as, oh, I can't say that. Almost did. It's Friday. As manure, bull manure.
There you go.
And then they discussed like all the neo-Nazi stuff. And I don't know. Can I just say I'm really tired of seeing, I'm just tired of seeing these interviews. I'm tired of seeing interviews with this guy. How many times are they going to interview him and ask him the same things? So we just spoke with you last month. We're going to ask you the exact same questions.
So you still want money or?
How much money of ours do you want? Well, we need all the money. Well, okay, we'd love to give you all the money. For what? We can't tell you that. Well, that's great. Is it for the war? It's for the war. It's like talking to NPCs. Bear was also like, you know, Putin calls you a neo-Nazi and he says you have Nazis in your administration. I do think that one's funny because isn't he Jewish? Yeah. I do think that's kind of funny. I mean, you're taking Putin's word for it, you know. I don't imagine that they're... It's weird. It's like the pot calling the kettle black in a way. I mean, it's Russia. It's a communist strongman saying, no, you're the bigger tyrant. What? That's like two prostitutes like arguing over who's the biggest whore. Like, what are you talking about? It's the same thing. What are you talking about? Golly. So, I think he got close to it because he was saying Bret Baier had asked him about some of these goals. He's like, okay, so what's the whole point of this? You know, what is the whole point what are your goals, the financing, et cetera? And he was still just weird about it. He was like, well, he said that some journalists had asked him, would Ukrainians survive without congressional support? And it was almost like that was his answer. It was just weird. We're going to deep dive on all of this. We're also going to talk more about the border. We got some cultural issues as well, domestic too. We have a whole bunch of stuff to jump into to get you ready for the weekend so you can chill over the weekend and then you can come back strong on Monday, right? All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need, any trees, any plants. They make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code D-A-N-A. Offer is valid for a limited time, so tell them we sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Google is pausing those weirdo AI-made images of people after, like, ridiculously stupid, baked, woke inaccuracies. It's so bad. So now they said they're going to pause the image generation for Gemini, a stupid AI model that's been baked in with dumb, weak, beta, soy boy, DEI wokery. I don't have enough bad adjectives for this. I just want to give these people a good thrashing. That's what I want to do. Like, we need to have a public square. We need to have like an afternoon of just the purge, right? And let's deal with some stuff, okay? Because I feel like that's the only way some stuff's going to get dealt with, you know? But they said Google suspended, or they've paused it right now. They're not going to pause it. They're not doing anything. You know what they're doing? They're waiting for you to all stop talking about it. Then they're going to go back to doing it again. And then you're going to be like, oh, show me a picture of a samurai warrior. And it's going to be like some skinny little anorexic, blonde hair, blue-eyed, you know, twerp. That's what it's going to be. Or it'll be like, show me George Washington. And it'll be like a black twink. I don't know. Like, that's where it's going. I'm not actually too far off. Happy Friday. It's not the F word I want to use. Anyway, fun is the F word I want to use. Shame on you. More than 56,000 barrels of radioactive waste have been dumped off the U.S. coast. Yay, environment. Yeah. And then True Detective renewed for season 5. The last one, the newest one with Jodie Foster is actually really good. Stick with us. We got a ton more. As we get moving, our partners, they help bring you free radio. So remember them. Even when times are tough in this Biden inflation, it's our friends at Gold Co. Precious Metals, because this is the time to actually help yourself and get some actual gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. Now, that gold IRA field can seem super confusing, and it's tough to find a precious metals company that you can trust. So I turned to Gold Co. because they make it real easy for you to understand exactly how they do business. They walk you through. In fact, they send you this whole, it's a free 2024 gold kit, and they walk you through the gold IRA field. They walk you through they explain the economy of it, how it works, how gold IRAs work. And their whole goal is just to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver, because that's a huge important part of your overall saving strategy. And they have fantastic customer service, a zero complaint record, no pressure, and ask them about their highest buyback guarantee as well. And you can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. So it's the free 2024 gold kit from Gold Co. And you can protect your family's financial future and freedom. It's easy to get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver at danalikesgold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Fox News has obtained some brand new internal CBP data, which shows something remarkable. More Chinese nationals have been crossing here in the San Diego sector in recent months than Mexican nationals. So take a look at this first graphic right here. According to that data, this is the top 10 nationalities that Border Patrol have arrested crossing illegally here in San Diego sector since October 1st. Colombia is number one, but take a look at number two. China.
Yeah. China is absolutely, they're outpacing people from Central and South America coming in.
They're eating our lunch.
From the southern border. But hey, good job, Democrats, keeping that open border, right? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this first hour. Yeah, well, good job on that. But hey, you know, if you don't pass this supplemental, then you like Putin or something. It's so ridiculous. I wanted to throw this story out in front of you as well. I saw this yesterday from Brendan Carr. Those of you subscribers to Chapter and Verse over at Substack, you got this in your prep. And it is pretty unbelievable, because this is like, I mean, this is so much like, what did it make me think of? Oh gosh, Kane, the 90s, with the radio equal time. The equal time.
Oh, yeah, that was the fairness
doctrine. Fairness doctrine. Thank you. Yes, the fairness doctrine. Yes, that fairness doctrine. It reminded me a lot of that. So Brendan Carr tweeted this. He said that this was last night. The FCC just ordered every broadcaster to start posting a race and gender scorecard that breaks down the demographics of their workforce. Activists lobbied for this because they want to see businesses pressured into hiring people based solely, really, on race and gender. Courts have already overturned the FCC twice for pressuring broadcasters into making hiring decisions in violation of the Constitution. And he says that he dissents. He says, and he notes that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 requires that the government, they're supposed to keep this data confidential when the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission collects it. But then the FCC, he adds, goes another way, one that violates the Constitution, as courts have already found in two prior FCC cases. He says this is no benign disclosure regimen either. He says the evidentiary record makes clear that the FCC has chosen to publish these scorecards for one and only one reason, to ensure that businesses are targeted and pressured into making decisions based on a person's race or gender. And he adds, let's start with the FCC's track record of pressuring broadcasters into discriminating on the basis of race and gender in violation of the equal protection guarantees of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. He noted that he had said that in Lutheran Church, the court reviewed an earlier FCC effort to use the same scorecard at issue here. He said the court then determined that the FCC's decision in that case to mandate that broadcasters compare their employees to the general population in their area across race and gender categories, that was basically, quote, pressure license holders to engage in race-conscious hiring. And he added that the court had concluded that the FCC had violated the Constitution because its regulations pressure stations to maintain this workforce that supposedly mirrors the racial breakdown of their area. Yeah. And he says that after that court loss, they went back to the drawing board. He says, but then they decided that they drew up the same plan. They wanted to pressure broadcasters into hiring based on race. You can't do that. That is a constitutional violation, but they're trying to get around it. And they're trying to go after it. We had this story of Soros buying Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. Bought a bunch of stock.
Yeah, bought a bunch of stock in it. And now we've got this. So they said, like as with the first set of rules, Carr adds that these second ones make clear. Now here's the penalty. If a broadcaster's workforce did not demonstrate that its outreach or recruitment efforts were reaching the entire community, then the FCC expected the broadcaster to modify those efforts, and in some cases face an FCC investigation. Focusing on how those rules would operate in the real world, the court found that the FCC's regulations did more than encourage broad outreach. They made clear that the agency, with life and death power over the licensee, is interested in results, not process, and it's determined to get them. He adds the FCC's approach clearly does create pressure to focus recruiting efforts upon women and minorities, as the courts found, a complete violation of the Fifth Amendment. So he said that the FCC secured a second and deserved L, meaning a loss, right? But that's not a trivial matter. He says that there is a history of unconstitutional behavior with the FCC. And he says that the Supreme Court has written that racial classifications, they do stigmatize people by reason of their membership in a racial group. So he says that the FCC has asserted, we found no basis to conclude that the demographic data on a station's annual Form 395B filing would lead to undue public pressure. He goes, really? And then he adds this. One broadcast filer states, quote, we, the undersigned investors with collective assets under management or advisement of approximately $266 billion, write to urge that the FCC require the disclosure of equal opportunity employment statistics amongst the companies it regulates because doing so allows market participants to assess whether companies stand by their public commitments to pursue diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. Yeah, that's public pressure. By demanding that they publicly disclose all of this, they want to target and pressure by activist groups, all these different broadcasters, and bring in the government itself. And he says that posting these scorecards in Brendan Carr, the FCC, he's on the FCC. He says this is, they call it, posting these scorecards are what we would call pure pretext in discrimination context. And he says, he also notes that the FCC claims that publishing these scorecards increases the likelihood that erroneous data will be discovered and corrected. But that's stupid. That doesn't even make any sense at all, because they, how are they going to sit here and verify the reported race and all of that? Like, especially now, because the FCC says that you can report non-binary. How, again, are they going to show up at the workplace? Oh, you're non-binary. Oh, you're gay, or you're this. Okay. Go blow that dude. Prove it. You know what I mean? Like, where are they?
It's Friday.
It is Friday. This is how stupid this is. You see what I'm saying here? How are they going to do that?
Well, it's absurd on so many levels, because think about this. How do they know that every race listens or watches broadcasts evenly? So why would then you employ an even amount of people? You know what I mean? They would have to be watching in these broadcasts evenly between races. I think their main goal is just to control speech here.
Well, of course.
It's always been that.
And on the pretext of... we're going to make sure that there's like fairness with all demos. That's just so dumb.
It is dumb.
And everybody listens differently. They're and different groups of people. And you can even just say old and young even listen differently. Yeah.
Demographics.
Middle age listens differently.
Demographics are what drive it. It's not the government driving the demographics. It's the other way around. And that's they're trying to flip that.
I'm telling you what, this is like fairness doctrine. Gosh, the fairness doctrine plus DEI. Just when you thought it couldn't get more annoying. Ta-da! It did. It got more annoying. It's going to get bad. I think it's going to get bad. And I think, depending on what happens in November, it's going to get a lot worse.
And then think about the digital currencies they want to issue. So get this kind of government while you have a currency they can control?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no thanks.
Think about this. Do you remember back in... I remember in the 90s when I was a teenager. I grew up in the 90s. And I knew I heard some of the stuff about the Fairness Doctrine, and I knew... I remember there was a Time magazine cover, and of course we're in... God rest his soul, and his family are dear friends of mine. Rush's slot now. In a bunch of markets across the country. I remember a magazine cover. It was Time magazine, and it was Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh on the cover. One representing the right, one representing the left. I was in school. Like, I remember my parents had a subscription to Time magazine, and I just like to read, so I would read anything that's around the house. And I remember reading about that, and there was a inclusion about Fairness Doctrine. And even then, when I was reading it, I'm like, why does the government... And they were... It was weird because they were couching it as though they felt that they needed to... It was like the early days of talking about Fairness Doctrine, right? They felt like they needed to introduce something like that to kind of mitigate what they said was just, you know, they had the shock jock of Limbaugh or whatever. But why wasn't that being applied to Stern, though? That was the thing. As a teenager, I was reading this going, well, why doesn't this go both ways? This is kind of weird. And I just never really thought anything more about it. You know, I just, you know, as a kid, I was going out living my life. But... That I remember reading that they've been trying for so long to contain the success of not really so much even just, I don't want to say just Republican, because there are a lot of conservatives that cringe over Republican, and I'm kind of one of them. And they, just right leaning in terms of, you know, conserving individual liberty constitutionally, more constitutional approach, folks. There's been this huge effort over the past several decades to curtail their voices online, because in the early days of radio, when radio commentary really took off, those were the people who dominated. The left could not get it off the ground. And I do suspect that one of the reasons why the left could never get it off the ground is because they were so overrepresented elsewhere. You know, if people wanted to go and hear leftist commentary, they could turn on any network channel. They could read any newspaper. They could go see or read about anybody in Hollywood. It's so over, their leftist thought is so oversaturating. It's everywhere. But it's not like that for people who are more conservative, constitutionally minded. Those expressions of thought, actually, you have to work a little bit more to get them in full. And usually the only time that they're presented in a mainstream theater is when people are savaging them or trying to mock them or disagreeing with them or trying to destroy them. And that's ultimately it. So that's why broadcasting was so incredibly important for constitutionally minded voices. And then it expanded beyond that. So even after radio, with social media. It just, as I think I spoke about this yesterday, that was the same thing. Everybody's social media, constitutionally minded thought exploded on social media. Back in the early aughts of Twitter and all of that, even MySpace, I mean, everything, but especially Twitter, because that was like the early, you know, one of the first really that cemented itself micro blogging platforms that killed blogging, you know, long form blogging totally. But it conservative thought and movement and organization exploded, and the left lost their minds. They freaked out. They had like an existential crisis. They did not know how to deal with this. And now this entire time, they've been very quietly like planning this foundation. And it's not just with social media. It's also now with AI. They're baking all of this stuff in AI before conservatives can even blink. And conservatives are way behind the ball on this. And you can't just expect Elon Musk, who's more of a libertarian, he's chaos neutral, to save you. I mean, you got to save yourself and empower and partner with other people who can also help with that. But this is not going to end with these people. It is never going to end. The goal is to stamp out dissent. The goal is for a Borg hive mind-esque environment. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So this is really troubling from the FCC. Can you imagine if it was just all leftists on the FCC? Can you imagine? Jeez. Grateful for people like Brendan Carr. Plus, he protects my get out of jail free pass. They get one pass. One pass. New to the program, Field of Greens. Field of Greens isn't a supplement. It's a great way to get all of the dietary needs of all the vegetables and fruits that you're supposed to be eating in a day, and maybe you don't. It is a great way to get all of that taken care of in 1 8-ounce drink. Now, how it works is 8 ounces, because it's powdered, and it's superfruit and vegetables, right? All medically selected by doctors for specific health benefits, supporting your lungs, your kidneys, your metabolism, all that kind of stuff. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables, real superfood, not a supplement. So you can take 8 ounces, put it in preferably a healthy beverage like water. You can add it to milk or non-dairy, fruit juice, club soda. You can make a smoothie out of it. They have tons of recipes on their website. 8 ounces is all it takes. One scoop, mix it with 8 ounces of liquid, and you're going to notice a difference. But if for whatever reason, like if Martians land, whatever, if you don't notice the difference, they have a 100% money-back guarantee. So to start, Field of Greens is going to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com. Trust Field of Greens for better health.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
As many of you know, I've been teaching writing for 40 years, as Tom referenced. So one day, a student named Harry, who wanted to be an auto mechanic, raised his hand. Dr. B, he said, the only thing I need to learn how to write is needs breaks. He was, well, you finally got it. Come on, wake up. So he was funny. Joking, of course.
Yeah, that wasn't funny. I don't like fake laughing. If it's not funny, I'm not going to laugh. I don't care about making somebody feel better. I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm going to encourage you to be mediocre. No, it's cruel. I hate that. I hate when people do that. Welcome back. It's Friday. Welcome back to the show.
Please clap.
Yeah, please clap. I think little glimpses. That was Jill Biden. You see little glimpses of her personality, don't you? They come out. She's pushy. That woman is pushy. You know it. Anyway, it took you long enough because your joke sucked. Was that supposed to be funny? Golly, woman, take a chill pill. Ugh. That household. Can you imagine being raised in that household? Right? Oh, man, I can't. So, but that's not all. Do I have time for this other one? This one? I really want to touch on one. Okay, so Joe Biden, when he was speaking with Alexei Navalny's widow, he was really on the struggle bus, guys, with just saying her name, something very basic. Listen.
One thing I made clear to me,
is that Yolanda is going to, she's going to continue to fight and have on the way. We're not letting up.
Yolanda, that's her name. It's Yulia, but okay. It's Yulia Navalny, but he called her Yolanda.
He's really dialed in, isn't he?
You guys got him dialed in on all the stuff that you give him. Maybe get him, maybe chop up another line of that sawdust for him. You know what I'm saying? Get some more of that sawdust.
Is that what it was?
I would trust a coke addict to be able to say, no, that's not the right. I can tell by the texture in that photo, that ain't cocaine. Well, you are a coke head, so.
Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, Jiminy. No, that time, that photo is not cocaine. How dare you, investigators? This one time, I mean, granted, I've got literal tons of photos of chopped up coke everywhere and, you know, snorting them off prostitutes' backsides and everything else. But hey, you know, this one photo, Yolanda, my gosh, this guy.
Chopped up so many lines that I had to deal with sawdust.
Yeah, exactly. He just started snorting everything. He just dust, who knows, you know. Oh, my word. All right. So coming up in our second hour, a few things to touch on. Some 2024 stuff. It's getting, golly, I don't understand Governor Sununu, Chris Sununu. I don't get him. We're going to talk about this. We're also going to get into media malpractice. Did you hear how CBS seized these confidential files of Catherine Herridge's, her laptop story? She did the story on the Hunter Biden laptop. She's like not even a conservative, really. She's pretty moderate. She's done some pretty lefty reporting before. She's a good journalist. I don't really know what her politics are, and I don't care. But the point is that CBS, apparently, they took her stuff. We're going to talk about this and a whole bunch of other stuff on the way. Second hour coming up. Stick with us. As we move our partners at help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Wise Foods. I mean, I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. All I know is this. When emergencies strike, the last thing that I want to worry about or ask about is where my next meal is coming from. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. When you visit wisefoodstorage.com and type in Dana in the search bar, you're going to get access to all these exclusive deals like they're on their best-selling products, like their 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. It includes 2 boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, 11,100 total calories in each kit. And it's all made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life as well. Also, the heirloom seed vault. 39 varieties of seeds, non-hybrid, not GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Each kit has more than 4,500 seeds in it, and it has a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar to access those exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. That's wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. Type Dana in the search bar.
And the notion that Joe Biden is too old is based on a complete and utter misunderstanding of the work of the presidency. The job is to make decisions, not speeches.
Lawrence O'Donnell, MSNBC's resident thespian.
Actor!
On how the presidency works. He's Kane's favorite actor. He's so good in that role. It really is. He's like a...
He's good at being bad is the thing. That's why it's so good.
Without even trying.
Right.
Can you imagine if he tried to be bad, how great at it he would be?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he's so good at being horrible now. Right. Golly, Lawrence O'Donnell. So you know that this guy, he probably has like just velvet ribbon in his toilet paper in his bathroom. He's that kind of guy.
He's why we call our transportation secretary Poot.
Yeah. That's the correct... That is the stage way of pronouncing his name, Kane. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. It's Friday. We don't know what's going on. I just like making fun of him. He's like one of the guys. I shouldn't say this. Yeah, I should. You know how you come across every now and then, either a chick or a dude. In my case, obviously, it's a dude. And somebody just doesn't have an accurate, they just don't have accurate self-perception. You know what I mean? And it is so easy to mess with these people. They have no self-awareness. They have no accurate perception of self. They are so easy to mess with because their currency is vanity. Everybody's got a currency. You find out somebody's currency, you own them. They're so easy to play. And these dudes, I cannot tell you, in politics particularly, chicks and dudes, how many of these people that you meet, it is crazy. Oh, man, I tell you, some days I'm like, why wasn't I recording that? Like, why didn't I record that? Like, why didn't I... Oh, my gosh. But he's one of those guys, right? He takes himself so seriously. And he's taught, what is he, how does he think the presidency works? It's about making decisions. It's not about speeches. I mean, it's kind of part of the job.
How does he articulate his decisions?
Well, not with speeches, Kane. No, what he does is he, two flaps in his back open, and these fin-like tentacles come out. And they just like blast the message into your head.
Is that really?
Yeah, using like telepathy. Wow. That's what it is. So he doesn't even need to speak anything. And then you don't remember seeing them because you're conditioned to not see them. Right. That's how that works. That makes sense, right?
Just to make decisions but not talk about them.
Yeah, you don't talk about making decisions. You just like, so decide.
That's the presidency, huh?
Did Kylie Jenner write his stuff? It's like me and my friends are just like, it's a year of realizing things. And me and my friends are just like realizing stuff. People who are only now tuning in have no idea what we're talking. We have gone back to the well of that joke.
I know.
For how many years? When was that even?
I want to say
it was an interview question she actually gave. We were not doing it to be malicious, but it's hysterical.
I think it was 2015.
Has it been that long?
I think it was 2015.
No, it hasn't been. We've been doing this joke that long.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
He's looking it up right now.
I'm 16. Like, I feel like every year has a new energy. And I feel like this year is really about, like, the year of just realizing stuff. And everyone around me, we're all just, like, realizing things.
Wow. Like, you didn't realize things before. We didn't. 2016, she said.
Yep.
Holy cow. Yeah. I'm not retiring it. It's not going to happen. It's so good. Dude, right?
Wow.
It's like Lawrence O'Donnell. The president is not to make speeches. Nay. Tis to make decisions. I bet you could tell after he said that in his head, his good angel was praising him. That's a good job, Lawrence. You tell him, Lawrence. So he's giving himself a pep talk. And the way he ended it so theatrically and stares down at the camera. Can you imagine being on his crew? Dude.
No.
Some of these dudes take themselves so seriously. It's about making decisions. He doesn't even do that. In the world.
I didn't know the presidency was about, in silence, making decisions.
Yeah, like that decision he made about Yolandi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that one was out loud, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, it's true. Like, for instance, he's been making some decisions. He's been making, I don't know what they are, but he's been making them. I can't even. So, what?
I just have stuff go ahead. From him this morning.
Oh, go ahead.
So this is him. This is Joe. Joe's making decisions, right? This is him.
Decision making.
I know you just heard. Did Jill already speak, my wife? Well, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah. We're wondering that as well.
Yeah.
What are you doing here, sir? We're wondering that as well. So he did make the thing about the student loan forgiveness. I wrote a piece about that, by the way. It's over at Chapter and Verse. A lot of you liked the first paragraph. Every now and then I ask my husband, I'm like, not that is he going to allow me to say it, but is this going to be okay to say? I feel like, can I say this? He's like, yeah. But I had the first graph of this piece, and you should read it because I get into the history of why student loans are expensive as they are. It's the vote buying scheme. I said the new rule is that you can take out a loan for whatever you want and make everybody else pay for it, and it sounds selfish and irresponsible and thoughtless, but not if you call it magic. Student loan forgiveness. It's like putting a halo on a turd. It's just like it. Now, people don't remember that the takeover of the student loan industry happened all the way back in 2010. I've said this before, and some of you have asked, well, what do you mean? Well, it was the Health Care and Education Reconciliation Act of 2010. And there was also stuff that was tucked away in Obamacare. and even before that in 2009, there was stuff tucked away in Obamacare that laid some of the groundwork for these additional manipulations. And I have cited, Forbes had a piece, and I also got into the New York Times, and I got into the party votes of it, because Democrats, this was something that they really wanted to do back in 2010. They wanted to basically, the way that student loans had been set up until that point, like you actually had competition between loan providers, right? There were a lot of protections for students, for borrowers. And in this, and it was called the Federal Family Education Loan Program, they, and Forbes actually broke down how they were promised that passing this, it was going to save a lot of money from the quote-unquote nonpartisan Congressional Budgetary Office. But the budget office, you have to remember, it only formulates the exact numbers you give it. So you can totally give it BS lies, and it'll formulate based on that. So it begs the answers, it begs the question, because it assumes that the conclusion is true because all of the premises fed to it are true. So it begs the question. So Forbes argued that there weren't these enormous savings, but there were tons of risk that was baked into this. And as a result, they could not understand why anyone was promising that this was going to be in any way a savings. But they said that all the flaws were obvious. And they said that, it was a lot better before the government took it over. It's a pretty deep dive. So you definitely want to go read it. But the point is that up until that period of time, there were competition between loan providers. There were protections that were included in this. You had consumer protections for student applicants, and then Democrats eliminated that with this law. They eliminated the competition between loan providers, and then they wanted this super swampy direct loan program. They wanted to make the government the sole originator and collector of all student loans. That's what they did. And when Democrats complain about the high cost of education, they're literally complaining about the votes they cast in 2010. Because they overwhelmingly voted to support this. They wanted to consolidate total control of student loans at the federal level. And they obliterated all the consumer protections. And now what? Biden thinks that he can throw a few billion dollars as to buy votes in an election season, and that makes amends for 15 years of price gouging. That's the other thing. He sits here and goes on and on about price gouging inaccurately, but this is actual price gouging, and it was made possible by them. They made this possible. And you had the Supreme Court that ruled against the forgiveness. That's the thing. And I still think too, it's so asinine for people to complain, to compare the student loan debt sharing program and PPP. And I was looking back at a lot of the PPP stuff, and first off, I think that comparing the two is a medical sign that your brain function has ceased. That's true. But the PPP thing was brought about, as I said before, by the government enacting eminent domain over all economic activity, thus resulting in PPP, right? None of it should have ever happened in the first place, but that's what happened. But with the PPP program also included restrictions for how the funds were to be received as grants, and provided you could get them as a grant and not have to pay it back if businesses made, if they met, maintained certain levels of employment. So you had to have some X amount of employees still. And if you got under that number, then you lost it and you lost your qualification for it and you had to pay it back. They had to continually meet those requirements. People who committed fraud, and they did use it as a slush fund. I mean, again, I don't think any of this should have ever happened, but the people who committed fraud are being prosecuted. I linked up a ton of cases for you that they've been going after recently. Student loan, quote unquote, forgiveness is just welfare for people who voluntarily signed up to assume this loan. And they're too irresponsible to pay off something like $12,000 in 10 years time. What in the world? But as long as I'd made the mention, as long as we're going this route, you know, mortgages, what we did that with mortgages. That was what Too Big to Fail was. Remember, you had Democrats who decided that having criteria to gain a loan was discriminatory. So they forced these financial institutions to reduce across the board criteria, they began giving high-risk loans to people who had neither the means or really intention to fulfill them. And then we ended up having this giant economic disaster. It all contributed to it. So we already did that with mortgages. We've done that with a lot of bad financial decisions. But this is vote buying as a substitute for get out the vote tactics. That's what this is. We have more on the way as we roll towards headlines. We're going to get into some of the media malpractice as well. CBS is facing an uproar after seizing a journalist's files over that Hunter Biden laptop story. We'll have that and more. Great Florida-based company with family values, and they also share your beliefs, particularly about self-defense. They have the Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3. If you're unfamiliar with this, the Gen 3, I have the previous iteration of this, and it is just, it's awesome innovation from Kel-Tec. The stuff that they've come out with lately, I mean, I like all their stuff, but the stuff they've come out with lately is really cool. The Sub 2K Gen 3, as you know, the Sub 2K, you can literally fold it, the whole thing in half. It's like, it's great when space is limited, if you want to tuck it away nice and neat, but it's really super easy to to deploy as well. Now the Gen 3, previously you'd have to take off your optics and all that to fold it in half. Gen 3, you don't. Everything folds up, folds in half, optics and all. Simple twist and fold motion of that patent pending rotating fore end. You can twist in either direction, folds it right in half. Now they've upgraded a few other things as well. The aluminum trigger's upgraded, redesigned trigger mechanics. You got a light and 5 pound pull. More precise feedback, isolated pulls, that translates into improved accuracy. You also have upgraded action, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff. And it's from Kel-Tec, made in America, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K, or it looks like Sub 2000 in print, Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com and tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so apparently Instagram is, more and more people are relying on it as a news site because they have to read with pictures. That's all I care about this story. That's true. Red Lobster has made a change to the all-you-can-eat deal because the customers ate so much that the restaurant suffered huge losses. That's a real thing. You gotta risk it for them biscuits, y'all. The story, they made a very big change. The brand announced in June that its ultimate endless shrimp offering is going to become a permanent option right on the menu for customers. And then after it was solidified, there were people who literally ate so much of it that it directly affected financial losses for Red Lobster at the end of 2023. I'm going to send this to my husband right now and go, was this you? Because he has a story about him and his cousin eating so many crab legs at Shoney's on the all-you-can-eat crab legs Shoney's Friday night that they were told to leave.
USA!
Their quarter earnings said that they noted an $11 million operating loss, and they said that the endless shrimp was responsible. I'm not even making this up. They said the endless shrimp was responsible. Oh my gosh, this is so great. They go, well, we knew the price was cheap and it would bring in traffic. We had no idea it would lead to this. And the CEO said he's never going to be able to eat lobster again. He goes, we just can't. Oh my gosh, I love it. That's so funny. Let's see. There was a severed leg on the subway tracks in the Bronx. Yeah, somebody's leg. Yeah, leg day. They said apparently it could belong to a dude who was hit by a train days earlier. Ooh, they found his body 9 miles away. Oh, but they are trying to confirm whether or not the leg belongs to him. I have an easy solution to that. Is the body you found missing a leg?
I'm sure it's more complicated than that, Dana.
Probably not. A man is in trouble for stealing from Walmart. And I gotta tell you though, some people steal some pretty stupid stuff. This guy didn't. What'd he steal? Shotgun shells and bacon. Ammo and bacon, man.
Yeah.
He had to get some boxes of ammo, and he got, how many pounds of bacon did he get? He concealed the items and tried to leave without paying, and it didn't work out so well. He had a warrant already for him out of Fulton County, and that was for burglary with charges, and that was from Pennsylvania. He had stolen 138 items from Walmart in total, valued at over $1,000. He was charged with theft, receiving stolen property, and also he's a prohibited possessor who is illegally in possession of a firearm. But bacon and ammo, you know. I mean, you can't really go wrong there. Uvalde cops who botched the response to the tragedy at the school, they were subpoenaed by a Texas grand jury in a move that could result in criminal charges. So this is ongoing with the Uvalde case. They say that because there could be, I mean, with this, they said that the report, this was the report afterwards that showed how, you know, they stood outside, etc. But now this could lead maybe to more charges. They're still looking at all this stuff. We have more to come as we roll towards the bottom of the second hour. Stick with us. My Black Rifle Coffee. I have to tell you this. My husband went out of town and I cannot work our, like, I don't know what it is, our Rube Goldberg espresso machine. And he was like, don't touch it because I'll break something off. I don't even know. I'm like, does this crank? Is this the hand cranker thing? I don't even know what this is. All I know is that he makes the coffee in the morning and it's there and it's amazing. It's Black Rifle Coffee every morning. And it's usually like I have my Tactisquatch. That has been my jam lately. Although I did have, I had Silencer Smooth this morning. But anyway, long story short, I had to drink Communist Swill. It was horrible. It was awful. I wanted to die. I thought I was just going to eat the beans. I was ready to eat the beans out of the bag. It was so bad. My life was horrible. First world problems, I guess, but not for me. Anyway, so this is, they can't come to your house and make your coffee, but they can send your coffee to your house. That's what the coffee club gets you at Black Rifle Coffee Club. I'm a member. I'm probably like the valedictorian because I just keep adding stuff just to send to my house. They're probably like, what's the matter with you? But if you don't want bland swill for your coffee, you can get like, it's the most delicious coffee in the best roast, but it doesn't have the bougie price tag, and it's Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned, veteran-roasted. And so when you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club, I got you 30% off your first subscription order with code Dana. You pick what coffee you want, and it's sent to your door with no shipping fees, so freely sent to your door, and you never run out of coffee, ever. And they also have all kinds of stuff, like grinders, mugs, kettles, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. But pick your coffee in quantity, have it sent, pick your delivery schedule, you're all done, free shipping. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana, join that Black Rifle Coffee Club, get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee roasted by a veteran owned company right here in America. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recently, the president and the White House have been trying to sort of play off the president's age as an asset and play up his experience. But when he was boarding Air Force One to head to California at Joint Base Andrews, he had a little bit of a stumble on the stairs, heading up the stairs onto Air Force One, and he was wearing these dress shoes that we haven't seen him in as much recently. They've been putting him in sneakers because we had noticed that every time he's wearing the dress shoes seems to be when he is having issues on the stairs. But he wore those shoes and had a little bit of a stumble going up the stairs. So we will be watching to see if he switches back to the brand new black Hokas that he was spotted wearing in Delaware.
I don't know. That's Jackie Heinrich talking about, I told you he stumbled just the other day. And this was, he was going up the stairs this time.
I need more strength in my leader.
Yeah. But you know, Kane, the great thespian of MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell, says that it's about...
That's right.
Decisions. He doesn't make speeches. It's not about any of that. It's he just makes decisions. That's all he does. Yeah.
I guess that includes shoes. The decisions.
Why would you put those slick shoes back on? Why? You guys, first off, welcome back to the program. Bottom of this second hour. What does she mean? Lorraine asked a good question. What does she mean they've been putting him in sneakers?
Oh, yeah.
Who's dressing him?
Right.
What do you mean they've been putting him in sneakers? He doesn't put on his own sneakers? He doesn't say this is the choice of footwear I'm making today? Did someone wrestle him down and say, get those Hokas off?
Someone also like feeding him and wheeling him around?
I mean, I don't know. I got questions. That's a good point.
When's November?
Yeah, when's November? Well, they've been putting him in these. Who's they? And did they diaper him too? I don't know. Golly. Oh, which reminds me, I had to see this, you guys all have to suffer it too. Uh-huh. He gave this interview. Did you delete that? No, you didn't.
No, I wanted to.
I wanted to.
Daily Mail has a story where Biden says he was apparently asked about this. And he said the key to his marriage with Jill is good romantical times. No. Now I'm going to starve to death because I'm forever nauseous. Ugh. No one believe, dude, you can't walk upstairs. Come on. We don't believe that either. We don't believe it. You know the solar flare that we had? Well, that's what they told us. Yeah. You know, and it knocked out. Just a very specific solar flare that only impacted the United States. Super. Well, now, and because they said AT&T seemed to have experienced the largest number of issues, reports the New York Post. They said that maybe they were trying to implement the application and execution of a new network expansion, and they failed. That was according to a company statement. The company said it was a system overwhelm. And they said that they were having a lot of problems because they were expanding and it was a system overwhelm, they said in a statement. Not at all hacking or the solar flare that we said initially, because that's what was reported initially. Did they say it initially or was it just other people guessing that had happened? Yeah, I'm curious about this. I don't know. But long story short, they messed up. They totally messed up the, execution of this network expansion, and it foobarred everybody's service.
So they didn't take all those towers offline so that they can bring them back up online with the new frequency that's supposed to affect everybody that got the vaccination? Is that what you're saying?
What?
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 What did you say?
I said, so they didn't shut down all those towers so that they can bring them back up with the new frequency that's going to affect the people that have gotten the vaccine and boosters?
What would it do to them?
Oh, I don't know. Probably turn them into a zombie or something.
Did it work?
I mean, have you seen parts of Philadelphia? It looks like something's working.
But is
like
that any different from before?
Kind of. I think it's worse than before. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's just from Democrats.
I don't know. Have we been truly getting 5G this whole time? Is this new?
I don't know. Are you like reading my mom's Facebook comments?
Listen, I may have been wearing the tinfoil hat a little longer during the day than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think there might be something there.
So your theory is that the people who got the injections that actually didn't promote any kind of immunity at all whatsoever.
Right.
And it wasn't even really therapeutic.
No, it's actually a detriment to your health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, in fact, it was just misadvertised as that. And it's really secret zombie juice that people were injected with. And it's going to turn them into zombified Democrat voters. And that this was a way to activate the serum.
Yes.
Is that your...
That's part of it. But you say... What did you say? What was it? Misactivate? What did you say?
To activate the serum.
Yeah, so... I think that could be it. I've seen enough online. I've been deep into the rabbit holes enough.
Oh, I believe it.
To know that that's a possibility.
Okay. Why wouldn't they just aerosol it?
Well, they've been doing that with the chemtrails and everything. Is that what you mean?
To make Democrat voters?
Yeah.
Or
they're making the frogs gay. That's what they're doing.
Well, apparently it's all caused a trans epidemic. It went way beyond the frogs. Well, I just think it's just all, I don't ever trust anybody. I don't know. I mean, I, at this point, having seen everything I've seen, I could probably be persuaded to believe almost anything, I think, at this point, because I am just so much of a cynic. Diogenes would be proud. It's bad. But yeah, they said that it took them 13 hours to fix this. And they said Verizon also experienced issues. But we were told reliably that it was a solar flare.
Yep.
And some said, well, it could be a cyber attack. And one tech said that he couldn't imagine this incompetence or a single node failure. It even affected some 911 services.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, the solar flare or AT&T's FUBAR. I don't know. What do you believe? I feel like, do you remember, what's his face? He was number two under William Shatner. Star Trek, that guy.
Spock?
No, Spock was never number two. Or no, he was number one. Who is it?
Oh, you mean on
Star Trek.
The Next Generation
Star Trek? Yeah. It was Jean-Luc Picard.
You said Shatner, though. Okay, so
I messed up because I wanted to call him Shatner, and it's not. It was under. It was when
Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes.
Was
yes.
His real name?
What was the show that he used to host in the 90s?
Oh yeah.
And it was like true or not, you yeah. decide. And he was so hysterical yeah. because he'd show you, like he'd tell you about the story, and he's like, and you're all in it, and you're thinking, wow, this could be true. And he's like, no, it's not. We totally lied to you. And he was so straight faced, like he was making fun of you for believing their amazing over the top production. Like, they were the ones who made this whole series. And they're like, do you believe this totally believable story and our amazing over-the-top production and editing? If you do, you're a dummy. It's a lie. It's like...
It was called Beyond Belief Factor.
Yes, right? I loved that show. I loved that show. Gosh, it was so good. Oh, I loved his delivery. Anyway, I feel like that's what this is. Do you believe that it was a solar flare? Do you believe that well-finessed... government story, because if you do, you're a dumber. It's a lie. They just need to see. Okay, sidebar. It's Friday. I can do what I want. So I'll never run for public office, but if I did, and if I was president, I'd bring him out. I would legit, like, I would, who do I got to kill to get him out here? And I'd bring him up on stage, and I would, every time that we needed to combat bad narratives, I would bring out Jonathan Frakes. Right? Fact or fiction? Well, this one's fiction because you were lied to, you moron. I would bring him out, and I would just have him be the final word, but, and then I'd move on to a different topic. And then he would...
I think it'd be effective.
Oh, dude, it would be so effective. I don't know what I'd call him. He'd be like some sort of like press... attaché, whatever. I don't know. I'd think of a title. Somebody would think of a title. Somebody who does that stuff. Like the guy who puts on Joe Biden shoes, I'd repurpose him. Okay. Yeah, and I'd make him think of a title for that stuff.
He needs more to do.
Yeah. Like the guy who's the dresser, the valet. The guy who puts on his shoes because apparently he can't anymore. They dress him. They put his brogues back on. Yeah, they took his hokas off. They put his brogues back on, guys, those slippy, slappy shoes, and they sent him up those steep stairs to the plane.
Don't leave him in socks. It's too dangerous.
Golly. It's like a toddler. I don't know. Anyway, so that's...
Do you think he has the little rubber thingies on the bottom of his socks? You know,
like the grippers?
Yeah, the little gripper things. I bet you that's the only kind of socks they let him wear.
In the shoes?
Yeah, or in case the shoes fall off, or he takes them off. Like no, a toddler.
I don't think they think that far ahead.
I don't know. I think they do.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I really don't. CBS faces uproar. They seize Catherine Herridge's files. This looks really bad for CBS. So they fired Catherine Herridge, and she was a part of all the layoffs that happened earlier this month. And then afterwards, apparently, they took the step of seizing her files, her computers, her records, and all her information from her privileged and confidential sources. And there are people on the left that are actually speaking out about this. And they said that they've never seen, other CBS journalists were saying, we've never seen a network seize records from a departing journalist. And a former CBS manager who spoke to The Hill said that, and I've known this to always be true, when you leave, you take your stories and your sources and your contacts with you. And the company takes, you know, they take, you know, they keep what's theirs, but you take all of your stuff and all of your information. And I've never, and all of your files, I've never heard of this happening anywhere at any time. And apparently a lot, even SAG-AFTRA, SAG came out on this. I've never seen that.
Those conservatives?
Yeah. They said that this is controversial. They're incredibly concerned. They said that this could put a chilling effect on the practice of journalism and source confidentiality. They say that this is very unusual and it goes far beyond this case. They said, quote, it is a matter of principle. It's a matter of serious concern and we are considering all of our options. Wow. Wait, you mean CBS, the Mary Mapes, Dan Rather, the fake document CBS?
Yep.
That CBS?
The very same.
So I thought, yeah. This is really weird. I've never, ever seen a company do this before. I don't even know how, because if you can have your confidential sources, you know, that identification sees, you're never going to have anybody, because the journalists are actually protected against revealing the, being forced to or compelled to reveal those sources in a court of law. They're protected. And I mean, this is wild. This is to see something like this happen. And a lot of the story, particularly of note, some of the files they seized in that related to that Hunter Biden laptop story. It just seems to me, I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to go a little bit of Occam's razor here and say that this is the administration trying to go after a reporter that was really pushing, along with the New York Post, that story, and has been covering all of the charges and the legal maneuvers of Hunter Biden since that time. Just saying, it seems like that, because the administration has used the FBI to go after people that had their drug-dealing flophouse daughter's diary. Remember that?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm just trying to figure out this photo. It's from Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission. Here's the headline. Florida man cited after authorities found an illegally poached gator foot stuck in his dashboard. Whoa. Number one, where? Number two, foot? Is it a foot? Feet? I don't know. Yeah. Three, is it attached to a gator? The Orange County commissioners, or no, this is a different story. This story with, this is just a weird story. So Florida Fish and Wildlife pulled this dude over. It was on Monday morning, and they said, they posted this. This is on Facebook, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation. And they wrote, an alligator foot in the dashboard. Officers Luis Maurizio and Casey Schreier stopped a truck to check for their day use pass in a wildlife management area when they noticed something unusual. They said scattered throughout the cab of the truck were alligator parts, including an alligator foot in the dashboard of the truck. So it's, I don't know what it is. What is it in, Kane? Is it like a vent?
I think it's one of those cubbies or something. I think that looks like a GMC vehicle. And I think that might be a little storage cubby they have right there that might have a pullout little tree, possibly, but...
Well, it gets weirder. Yeah. The driver told the officers that the parts were from an alligator he hunted a few years ago, but our officers could smell that the alligator had been taken recently. After reading him his rights, the man confessed to killing the gator a few days ago without a permit, and he was cited for violation. I mean, I just think if you're... Well, that was dumb that you didn't hide it, number one, but number two, nasty. Like, they're all about... But his truck looks like it's dirty, though. All strewn all about your truck. That's so gross. That's gross. Come on. That's nasty. Florida man goes on a naked stroll. Thought this was America. And tells officers that he is from a different earth. Yeah, he was arrested for indecent exposure. A restaurant worker said she spotted the naked Florida man, Jason Smith, taking a stroll outside the restaurant in front of all these customers. Palm Beach police officers arrived at the well-manicured scene, and several people pointed out that the suspect was walking nearby. He had no clothing on, and his man bits were fully exposed to the public, according to the arrest report. They did not say man bits. He did not know where his clothes were. He couldn't provide his name or date of birth, actually refused. So they handcuffed him, took him to the police station. He told officers he had no ID card. He didn't have a social security number. And he said he wasn't from this earth. That's why he resided on a different earth, and that's why he didn't have any of these documents. So he was charged with indecent exposure, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct. He entered a not guilty plea. I think he's still in jail. His bond was set at $500, but it doesn't say it was made. Just, I mean, did he want to go to jail? I don't know. That's how you get a quick trip to jail. Let's see here. This. A woman stole $1.5 million and splurged on flights, carnival cruises, and more, say cops. She's a bookkeeper. And the owner of the company noticed some suspicious activity. And the county sheriff's office, they arrested the 36-year-old woman near Jacksonville. Oh, man, she was buying all kinds of stuff. Expensive haircuts, flights, cruises, everything. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store, folks.
Do you have a reaction to the Alabama Supreme Court ruling on the fact that embryos are children?
Yeah, I was all for it. We need to have more kids. We need to have an opportunity to do that. And this, I thought this was the right thing to do. But
IVF is used to have more children, and right now IVF services are paused at some of the clinics in Alabama. Aren't you concerned that this could impact people who are trying to have kids?
Well, that's for another conversation. People need to have that. We need more kids. We need the people to have the opportunity to have kids.
So that's Senator Tommy Tuberville on that Alabama Supreme Court ruling that the left is now trying to maneuver around and go at Republicans over and try to make the pro-life or the pro-choice people, pro-abortion people mad. We're going to talk about this. Welcome back to the show. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you this Friday. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. And, of course, you can catch the simulcast, the video component of the show, on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. The Alabama Supreme Court had ruled that human embryos in IVF clinics are legally children. And this comes after some wrongful death lawsuits. The ruling meant that there's two separate lawsuits against this IVF clinic. They had a patient break in and destroy these frozen human embryos. And so that's ultimately what the court had to decide, whether or not these were legally considered children, because with the destruction of these embryos. So the left is infuriated, and now there's a story that comes out from Axios that they're reporting that the NRSC, and that's the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, the NRSC, they're pushing, it's run by Senator Steve Daines, they're pushing Republican senatorial candidates to oppose the ruling as it has restricted access to IVF. So they're saying to oppose it, to oppose the ruling that frozen embryos are kids. That's what they're arguing. Axios says that the National Republican Senatorial Committee is urging candidates to strongly oppose the Alabama Supreme Court ruling restricting access to fertility treatments. They say the Senate Republican campaign arm sent a memo to candidates Friday morning urging them to clearly and concisely reject efforts by the government to restrict IVF. According to the copy that Axios obtained, it called the Alabama ruling fodder for Democrats hoping to manipulate the abortion issue for electoral gain. They said there are zero Republican Senate candidates who support efforts to restrict access to fertility treatments. One senior GOP aide apparently told Axios that anyone not speaking out on the ruling would be committing political malpractice. So they're telling candidates to show support for the fertility-related services as blessings for those seeking to have kids and oppose any efforts to restrict IVF as a defense of family values and individual freedom. And it's tough for Republicans to oppose such a ruling because you either believe that an embryo, that it's a child or it's not a child. And it's a fertilized egg. It's a frozen embryo. Don't they have like a 95% survival rate? So it's, you know, you can't... I think the question doesn't come after the embryo, the life is created. I think the question comes before the life is created. And I don't think that this changes the formula for anything. This is still the same question that exists before conception. Choice before conception. At this point, it is an embryo. It is a fertilized egg. It has all of the ingredients there. It is life. It's just suspended. Now, that's an issue that I and some others have questions about because it is a suspension of life. It is life, but they're suspending it. And I think that some folks in the pro-life community, just from what I've been able to see and understand from their arguments, maybe this is like, maybe they're purists or however you want to describe it. But from what I have seen, some of the folks in the pro-life community view a suspension or, because that's what it is, life in suspension, a suspension of this life as somehow a weakening of pro-life, if that makes sense. And I understand that argument. I understand what they're saying there, but I still think it doesn't change the formula that choice comes before conception. However, the question or the issue at hand here, I think there's two separate issues that are getting twisted up in one thing. I think if Republicans just very simply stick to just this one issue, it is an embryo, it is life. That's not where the debate should be. The debate isn't after life is created. The debate is about preconception. The debate is before conception. It's not, you don't ask after, well, should I? You ask, well, should I before? So I don't think that that formula changes things. Now, the objections that a lot of people have with IVF, and I have friends who have done IVF, and I have family members who have successfully done IVF. And I know a lot of people who have gone through it. They've gone through the process to expand their family. The concern that a lot of pro-life folks have is what happens to the embryos when they're not fully matured. Because they're frozen in a facility housed in capsules and nitrogen, liquid nitrogen. And then what happens after? I mean, a lot of them, they're frozen. Are they destroyed? Are they discarded? Are some aborted in utero? Because you do have to implant a few. So I have questions about IVF. That's separate from whether or not the singular issue is it a child or not? That is the only issue. And Republicans need to keep it simple. Do not allow this argument or this issue to be wrapped up with the other issue. This question is, are they considered children? Alabama Supreme Court says yes. The question isn't, well, should you create them now? You don't ask that after they're already there. That's a question you ask beforehand, and it's an entirely separate issue from this. So the stupidest thing that Republicans could do is get baited into complicating this issue on this particular question, which is the sole scope of this case, to get baited into making it more complicated than it needs to be by the left, because that's a boon for them. And it's difficult, especially, and this is what the left's going to do. They're going to seize this. They're going to get all over this, because think about it. The biggest threat to the left is a coalition on the right. I'm not saying more Republicans. I am not saying more Republicans. In Florida, they've been able to register a lot of Republicans. That is not true in every state. I think a lot of states have pretty weak Republican parties. But there are a lot of people who are persuaded to vote Republican, or vote for some Republican candidates. And you don't want to overcomplicate the association with your coalition. Again, 80-20. There are certain things that are winning issues that needs to be repeated over and over again. And I think Tuberville did his best to kind of avoid that and strategize around it a little bit. He was very smart. He's a lot smarter than I think a lot of people give him credit for in handling this stuff. Isn't he a football guy? It's strategy. He gets it. I mean, it's the same. It's a strategy-based thing. But I think that's pretty simple, and Republicans just need to keep it stuck on that issue and that issue alone. There's also this question. I don't know if we have this audio. It's this MSNBC chick. Yes, this one. Audio soundbite 22. Tell me that you don't know the difference between natural and civil rights without telling me that you don't know the difference between natural and civil rights. Go.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
So tell me you don't understand the difference between natural and civil rights without telling me that you don't understand the difference between natural and civil rights. Oh my gosh, this is just like basic reading comprehension. If you read the Declaration of Independence and you also read all of the debate minutes as it came to the founders determining what amendments and how they were going to structure the Constitution of the United States, there's one thing that they all agreed on. And it did not matter the doctrine through which you approached this. It just mattered that you recognize the activity and the guiding hand of the divine into the creation of the republic, or how they were inspired to acknowledge the presence of the divine in everyday life, which is why you have what's considered, you know, our free speech and the free practice of religion and the right to bear arms, et cetera, et cetera. The difference between natural and civil rights is that natural rights are rights that you have by way of being an American, whether you are born here in the United States or in a territory like on a military base, or if you are you become a citizen of the United States. They are rights that are that you immediately assume that you did not ask for, that you did not have to work for, that you did not vote for, that were not created in a courtroom by humans specifically for you. That is what a natural right is. And that is what the founders were alluding to when they said that we have been gifted by, endowed by our creator with unalienable rights. That is exactly what they're talking about. It is the very definition of a natural right. Civil rights are rights created by men and women in courtrooms to apply to other men and women. Civil rights are rights created by men given to other men. They are not rights at all. Rather, they are privileges that have been decided by the state and given to the citizens of the state. That's it. That's the difference. And I think that this is an absolute bastardization, not only of the meaning of natural rights and the difference between natural and civil rights, but it shows a really embarrassing ignorance just in the understanding of the origin of our entire republic. And what's more, and I've seen this in the thread of this, Matt Wolking put out, has the this, I'm going to actually retweet it here in a moment, has this thread that people have filled there, all of these videos, like Joe Biden and John F. Kennedy, and I even think Barack Obama, and there was a, even Al Gore had given a speech where they're talking about natural rights. Like, for instance, listen to Joe Biden. This was back in 1987. I was in elementary school. 1987, where I guess that this MSNBC talking head would take the exact same objection to this. Listen.
I believe all Americans are born with certain inalienable rights. As a child of God, I believe my rights are not derived from the Constitution. My rights are not derived from any government. My rights are not derived from any majority. My rights are because I exist.
Now see,
I have certain rights.
These people, like this woman on MSNBC, they're trying to ugly up the idea that you have rights that are untouchable by other men. Like, and that's the thing. To destroy belief in God in this country, and communists' biggest enemy is God. Karl Marx's biggest enemy was God. Because if you have these rights that are enshrined in the jurisdiction of the divine, no man can touch them. No man can pervert them. No man can counterfeit them. No man can corrupt them. And that's the entire goal, to very slowly whittle away the belief in the God who endowed these people with these rights so that the jurisdiction can dissipate and those rights can be moved to, under the jurisdiction of man. And then they can be infringed upon. Actually, they'll convince you that it's not an infringement because it never was to begin with. That's what they'll convince you of. So this whole Christian nationalist term, this is an ignorant phrase, used by even more ignorant people. And it's either done because they're genuinely and innocently stupid, which I still believe in a culpability in this era of information, or they're just malicious. And I think it's a bit of both.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, an out-of-control satellite plunged back to Earth after 13 years out of orbit. It finally fell to the ground this week. It spent 13 years very slowly being pulled out of orbit, harmlessly plunging into the Pacific Ocean. It's the European Space Agency's 5,550-pound ERS-2 satellite, and it's somewhere over the North Pacific Ocean between Alaska and Hawaii. They predict it. It's a bus-sized satellite. That's crazy. They thought it would break into pieces and then disintegrate upon arrival before landing in a body of water. And they said that the largest fragment they said would, they think it's like 115 pounds, but that was pretty much it. I'm glad it was just right over the ocean where nobody is right over there, goodness. 3/4 of U.S. workers want to get paid every day because of mounting debt. And now the on-demand compensation is increasing in support. Biweekly paycheck is on the cusp of disruption, although expansion plans have kind of hit a snag. First off, you have the wage access, the earned wage access, where employees can collect their pay at the end of each workday. That's what they're calling it. And Walmart and Amazon, they've already started offering like similar in-house programs like this. Yeah. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said that they're issuing guidance on this soon. They say that it could help a lot of Americans who run out of money before they It's because of inflation, I know. But isn't that just going to make them run out of money faster? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking here. I don't think that that's the panacea either. Japan's Naked Man Festival ends after more than 1,000 years because of the declining population in the area. That's what it is. Not because it's not what? Yeah, not because of naked dudes, because of that. Stick with us, because coming up, Congressman Andy Ogles, he's going to be joining us. He's with House Freedom Caucus.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen the footage of...
You've seen footage of...
...threaded children's bodies. That's my taxpayer dollars.
They're going to
bomb those kids.
So I think we should kill them all. Does that make you feel better? Everybody.
I mean, I'm going to pay more taxes than her. I don't want a ceasefire. I want more fire. I want all the fire. I love these activists that go in and it's like, you had a ceasefire on October 6th. You had all of this on October 6th. What changed? Maybe you're asking the wrong elected government. You should be asking the elected government of Hamas. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can catch the video component over at Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. So that video that we played for you, and I'm pulling up the article because I love the media. They go and they saw this, and they're like, wow, this congressman wants to kill all the people. Congressman Andy Ogles, member of the House Freedom Caucus and the House Financial Services Committee. He's out of Tennessee, beautiful Tennessee. He's in the Nashville area. He joins us via Skype. They're trying to say, Congressman, that they're pretending that nuance doesn't exist because that's a hot new trend today in society. But I mean, Hamas chose to engage this way. People just need to stand back and let Israel do what Israel does. I thought that activist that was questioning you, I noticed she didn't have anything to say about what happened before October 7th. She didn't have anything to say about any agreements that were in place before then, did she?
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, in these snowflakes, I mean, their idea of peace is one-sided. Their idea of tolerance is one-sided. And let's keep in mind, you know, prior to October 7th, there was a land for peace deal about 20 years ago. Israel has been under attack for the last 20 years. So this idea of peace in the Middle East or peace in Israel is non-existent. And on October 7th, Hamas crossed a line that they can never come back from. And every member of Hamas and all of their accomplices and all of their funders deserve whatever it is biblical that Israel rains down on their head. And look, when you understand that Hamas was raping and torturing babies, toddlers, young girls, young boys, they were cutting off the breasts of women while they were being gang raped. They were raping men and cutting off their testicles. These people are animals. They are evil incarnate on this earth. And anyone who has sympathy for Hamas is an idiot.
Also, Congressman, I wondered every time I hear the debates on the floor, do a lot of your Democratic brethren there in the chamber, do they understand that that's an elected, that Hamas was elected? They had overwhelming, this was back in 2006, they enjoyed, a landslide victory. And their support, their popularity has grown. It grew to the point where they suspended elections because Fatah was concerned they were going to overtake them in West Bank because, you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean, Hamas was also, you know, kind of the big player in West Bank as well. And I feel like a lot of your Democrat brethren on the other side of the aisle there, they don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people try to make this clear distinction between the Palestinians and Hamas, and it's a blurred line. You got to understand that the Palestinians, their government is funding Hamas, that the tunnels are coming up in through people's homes,
yes,
up through people's businesses. I mean, they're literally helping Hamas engage in terror. So look, if you kill someone and I provide you the weapon and I load the weapon, I'm an accomplice to that murder, right? And so this is what you have to view this lynch through, is that you have people in the Gaza that are accomplices to Hamas. And look, justice has to be delivered. And look, it's time for the foreign governments, United States or France or Germany, to get out of the way of Israel. It's time to let Israel take the muzzle off of Israel and let Israel do whatever it has to do. Let them dictate their policies on this issue. And look, because if there was a group in Mexico that were lobbing IEDs into Houston or Dallas or somewhere, we would occupy Mexico City within 48 hours. You know what? We probably wouldn't give it back. And so to hold Israel to some other standard is ridiculous. And so I'm fed up with the snowflakes. I'm fed up with the left. And the left has been trying to blame Israel for the attack on October 7th. The left media, the woke media, is responsible for the anti-Semitism in this country. Mm. So the increase in tax on the Jewish country here on the homeland is because of the leftist media, because they refuse to condemn Hamas. They refuse to condemn the Palestinians for their complicitness in this, and they refuse to acknowledge the atrocities that happened October 7th. And I'm not going to back down from this, and there's no point in me doing so.
Well, good. We're talking with Congressman Andy Ogles from beautiful state of Tennessee, 5th Congressional District. I have to note for everybody, the woman who's asking him those questions that you were talking to, sir, in that video, she's with Code Pink, that a very far-left Marxist organization. Everybody knows Code Pink. You say Code Pink and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that group, they're still around. That's what they do. They just yell at non sequiturs at lawmakers, and then they try to do these gotcha things. I wanted to ask you as well, because I'm going to switch gears here, because this was something that you released the beginning of this month, the Send Them Back Act. Now, we broadcast out of Texas, so we're in a super fun border state. We've got affiliates all over the country, but we got a lot of border area affiliates as well, including our great friends down in KURV, the McAllen area, which was a hot spot of crossing until all these force multipliers from the government. Now everyone's going over to California. This gets me that everybody's hands are tied, and this administration doesn't allow these governors and local law enforcement to properly detain and stop this deluge coming in. You've introduced the Send Them Back Act, and it's short for, and I like the name of it, Sending Evading Non-Documented Threats Home, Especially Migrants Biden Accepted Carelessly and Knowingly Act. I felt like there was a very careful purpose in the naming of this. Tell me about this act.
Well, it's quite simple. Look, we know that our country has been overrun by illegals even before Biden, but you've got to start somewhere. And so this is our country. We get to decide who comes here. And quite frankly, we get to decide who stays. And so we picked a date, which was the beginning of Joe Biden's term in office. So roughly 8 to 10 million people have come here illegally. And what this does, it labels anyone who came during that time period into this country illegally, they would then be labeled for immediate deportation. And look, I know that's going to be harsh. I know it's going to be messy, but we have 8 million people here illegally. And just in the state of Tennessee.
And that doesn't even include the gotaways.
That's right. Well, but here's the thing. In the state of Tennessee, on an annual basis, it costs our state almost $1 billion a year, illegal immigration does, healthcare, food stamps, education, et cetera, et cetera. So those are dollars that should be going to taxpayers of Tennessee, going to our textbooks, going to our veterans. The suicide rate among veterans is still 22 a day. Like, we have things that we should be taking care of at home versus the illegals that Joe Biden is letting in. And I'm going to say this. There's a nefarious purpose for him doing this that's twofold. One, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, he's trying to flood those areas with a constituency that will vote blue, get them hooked on welfare and food stamps and hope that they vote Democrat. So in the short term, they're trying to hold New Mexico and Arizona in perpetuity. But when you get to the census in 10 years, illegals are counted in the census. And so when you look at states like California that has population flight, they're backfilling that state with illegals. When you look at New York that has population flight, they're backfilling that population with illegals. Why? Because if the population drops, they lose congressional seats. So this is all about power and control. They don't care about you, Dana. They don't care about me. They don't care about the state of Tennessee. This is about the Democrats controlling the country and, quite frankly, screwing this country up even more.
Yeah, we're talking to Congressman Andy Ogles, and this is he's in Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Very, very a beautiful state. Got a lot of friends who live there. Do you, I was thinking back, the president spoke this morning to governors. He's meeting with the Governors Association, and he mentioned y'all in the House again, saying that it's your fault that they're supplemental to Ukraine's not getting passed. It's your fault. Nothing's happening with the border. I think it's perfectly reasonable, as I'm sure the millions of people who are listening to the program or streaming it think. We're all on the same page here. I mean, you got to kind of protect what's, you know, your land at home. You got to protect your porch here at home before you go out and help your neighbors with their houses. And I'm just looking at Israel. I'm not even talking about like Ukraine and all that yet. I mean, there still has not been a clear, clarifying breakdown of what we're actually paying for in Ukraine, what's happening to the money previously, and what the objectives are. So it seems perfectly reasonable, Congressman, to not want to pass all of this money during a time of inflation when we don't even know where it's going to go, and we're looking at our border going, but what about this?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Biden administration wants to send over another $60 billion to Ukraine. Keep in mind, the budget for the United States Marines last year was about $58.3 billion. So we're going to spend more money in this tranche, which is in addition to all the other monies we've sent them, more than we spent on our U.S. Marines last year. That's a travesty. But that being said, you know, we live out in the country. We've got a farm. We live on top of a hill. I've got an old tractor, right? The brakes work most of the time. I would really like a new tractor.
You live on a hill and you got a tractor where the brakes work most of the time.
You know, I'm really good driving the tractor with the bush off. But all that to say is, you know, if I want a new tractor, I've got to find money in the budget.
Right.
And what this administration is doing is using America's credit card, our great grandchildren's credit card. And we've got to start paying for these things we're spending money on. So guess what? My wife's told me I'm not getting a tractor because you know what? It's not in the budget right now. And I'm telling Joe Biden, no Ukraine funding. Secure the dang border. Start sending people home. If we're going to take care of our foreign allies, it should be Israel and Taiwan, not Ukraine. By the way, rated one of the most corrupt countries in the world. There's that, of course.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point as well. A very good point. Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, oh boy, he's going to kick off another war. The president going after members of the House again. Before I let you go, I wanted to also bring up, you and Congressman Massey, who's a good friend of the show, you guys are leading opposition to this permanent reauthorization of the undetectable. This is that ghost gun thing. I cannot stand the term ghost gun because it's just this name that they give to firearm for hobbyists to make unserialized firearms. And they can do that. I mean, there's a federal statute already if they're going to sell them. But they act like gangbangers are going out there, Congressman, with 3D printers. Right. And they're just distributing them to all the gangs in L.A. and Chicago and Philly and elsewhere. Tell me about this, because I feel like they're going to go after 3D printers and everything else next.
Well, so there's a bit of, so sometimes you got to figure out, like, why are they doing this? So when you look at the application of the ghost gun, the undetectable, so there's undetectable firearms and there's ghost guns. So the undetectable firearms is basically a gun that's all plastic.
Yeah.
That's not a real application. People aren't making those in their garage, right?
No, and so they can only be fired like once or twice and then it melts.
Exactly. So one person, someone might just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's no big deal. But when you combine that with the ATF's new rule on the receiver rule, which has to deal with plastics, now what this allows, when you combine that with the other rule, then the ATF could then single out, say, Glock, for example, who has a gun that is majority plastic or a large portion of it is plastic. I've got one. And they could say, you know what, this falls under these two components of law and or rule, and now you no longer can sell those weapons. So there's a pathway here for that to be applied to basically ban guns by manufacturer. And so this is, again, the Biden administration, they can't pass outright gun control. Mm-hmm. They can't usurp the Second Amendment. So what they're going to do is they're going to rule you to death. It's a death by a thousand cuts. So thank you to my good buddy, Thomas Massey, for standing with me on this. We brought it to the attention of leadership, and they were like, holy crap, we didn't realize that this was going on, and this is how it could be applied. And so our plan is to stop it and block it and prevent the Biden administration. Look, I'm a big gun guy. I'm one of those guys that had the Christmas card. We're all holding guns. It went international. I think it was MSNBC did a little series on us talking about our children weren't safe. Baloney. They all know how to use a gun, right?
My son got a shotgun for Christmas.
Has an agenda, right? They don't want you to have a gun.
Yeah.
They don't want me to have a gun. And you know what? I love guns. I shoot guns. I'm going to continue to do so.
I'd be, and this is probably for a future discussion as this progresses, but I'd love, because now we're getting into the materials of firearms. And I love how they're just trying, I mean, not love, I am amused, how they're trying every which way to go after firearms, ban everything, confiscate everything. It might be a question for Stephen Halbrook, Kane, but I'd love to talk again as this progresses, because I would just think if the common use, that was, that's come over up over and over again in numerous Second Amendment cases, you know, whether it's Heller, whether it's the Bruin case, commonly owned firearms, Scalia noted this in Heller. I mean, I would just think if it's made of, you know, if you got plastic involved in it, you got polymer, you got metal, whatever, if it's commonly owned, that seems like it's a strong defense against it. And I would love to know how they're going to get around that, because I don't think they can.
Well, what you do is they litigate to death. You look at President Donald Trump. You know, they can't beat him in the courts, per se. So they sue, they tie him up, cost him millions of dollars in legal fees. You look at Polymer 80, who's been targeted by the government, who they sell the incomplete lowers, right? You know, so they're targeting them, they're going after them, they're tying them up in court. And so they're racking up millions of dollars in legal fees. Well, if you're a small operator, that puts you out of business. And so this, again, is an intentional act by this government to weaponize the government against these companies and ultimately against you and I.
That's a very good point. Congressman Andy Ogles, love to have you back, especially as this progresses, because I'm very interested in watching the fight against that. Thank you so much for what you do. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. God bless.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And so I know you want to know what I bought. So you want to know that I got the George Clinton doll. Does everybody know who George Clinton is? Do you know P-Funk? No. Okay, well, there is lessons to be taught. Like Bootsy Collins, anybody know who Bootsy Collins is? Okay, so there's some education that needs to be done. I can see that. I got a Miles Davis album and then a couple of cards.
She got a George Clinton doll.
Did I pay for that?
Everybody knows it. No, people know that's come on. Did you think she listens to P-Funk? George Clinton P-Funk? He follows me on Twitter, on X. I'm shocked. Still, you want to know my weirdest follows? Totally at opposite ends. Boy George and George Clinton. I know. I know. It's so cool.
For the longest time, Flava Flav was following me, and I just looked the other day. He unfollowed me.
He unfollowed you?
It must have been something I reposted.
How did you get Flava Flav following you?
I don't know. It happened like years ago. And then I guess somebody got on, you know, in control of his account, and all of a sudden I'm unfollowed.
I remember when I was in 10th grade, I asked for a George Clinton album for Christmas.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I did. Nice. It was, without it sounding too close to something I can't say on air, it was his greatest blanking hits.
Right.
Funk. You know, but it was the cartoon one when he's all stretched out in the car. Anyway, this is a great album. All right. Do I got to give you your today in stupidity?
No, you don't have to.
Is it all? No, it's already time.
Yeah, way past.
Oh gosh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, my bad. Whoa.
But Karine Jean-Pierre was talking today about Biden's border considerations and asked why, after 3 years of being president,
it's Friday,
why hasn't he implemented any sort of executive actions? Her response was her typical one. Can you guess what it was? It was, I don't have anything for you right now. I'm not going to get in.
Sorry. You're okay.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. Folks, have a great week. We'll be back with you on Monday. It's in the 70s here in Texas. God bless.